This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Senator, late last night, Nyskoba and the state came to a tentative agreement that really didn't seem to meet the demands that the CEOs on strike are saying they want. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously I had conversations with the governor in her office. I had conversations with the union and their leadership last night and today. I've spoken to some COs. I was not encouraged, obviously, by my conversations with the rank and file who have been on the line that this met their demands or met their satisfaction. I think the reality is how we got here, Zach, and this is important, is that, you know, we got here over many years of Democrats, and it's that simple. Democrats in Albany, in the state Senate, in the state assembly, and the governor, they have been far more concerned with the mental health of prisoners, with the conditions of prisoners, with the ability of prisoners to see their family, than they have been of the mental health of corrections officers, of the ability of corrections officers to see their families, or of the safety conditions of corrections officers inside the prisons. I mean, it has been that simple, and it's been over years. So it's SALT, it's the understaffing, it's the closure of prisons, it's the contraband coming into prisons. And the situation has grown so desperate that I don't know what the thing is going to be. I think the union negotiated in very good faith. And I think they did get concessions that the governor did not want to otherwise make. Having said that, you know, I'm not a CO, I don't work in the jail. And so, I would like to. I mean, obviously, I want to see an end to this. I want to see them go back to work for their own families, for their own sake, and obviously for the sake of the prison system. But the prison system, you know, if we don't get a resolution here in the next little bit, I'm very concerned about the prison system collapsing in the state of New York. The National Guard, what, they're going to remain in the prisons for 6 months, a year? That is not a long-term solution. And so, I don't know what the long-term answer is here. As much as, you know, I would like to see HALT repealed. That's my position. That's our conference's position. But I do not believe that until we change the political leadership in Albany, we are not going to get HALT repealed. You know, the governor is not going to repeal HALT. The state Senate and the state assembly are not going to repeal HALT. The Democrats, they're not going to repeal it. So, you know, people saying we got to get rid of the DOC commissioner, and I just think that misses the point. The people you got to replace are the people who brought you HALT. And that was not the DOC commissioner. It's the governor. It's the state senators like Julia Salazar, and it's closer to home. People that are running for mayor, Sean Ryan, voted for HALT. You know, former Congressman Kennedy obviously voted for it. I'm sure, I don't know if April Baskin supports it or not, but, you know, Western New York Assembly members and senators, Democrats, supported this legislation. So, you know, those are the people that we have to replace in some form or fashion if you want a change in HALT and a change in this focus on prisoners over corrections officers. And so, you know, we'll see what the rank and file do. I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about their families. I'm concerned about our prisons. And it does not seem right now that this deal that was brokered, again, I believe in good faith, but I don't think it is meeting the demands or the expectations of the folks who have been standing outside our prisons the last week and a half.
Now, one thing that I have been seeing constantly about the suspensions with the HALT Act is that they're going to suspend certain elements that they deem could pose a risk to a correction officer's well-being or even just the strenuous work involved with it. But they never really break down what specifically they would be suspending or pausing with. It almost just seems kind of like a blanketing term for all of this. So I guess for my question for you is, even if this were to continue in place, would this be enough to guarantee safety for the COs and the prisoners? Because I know a lot of the time some of these prisoners were even asking to be put in these segregation units simply because of a risk for their safety.
So this is, you know, obviously, again, you know, I have looked at the terms. I have been briefed on them. I don't pretend to know every little, you know, aspect of how the law impacts COs on a day-to-day basis. What I do know is what I've heard from them. My understanding is they were suspending for 90 days, up to 90 days, the aspects of HALT, the programming aspects of HALT. So there are aspects of HALT that deal with, you know, recreational programming and programming for inmates that is labor intensive. It requires additional staff and staff time. And that is putting a strain, obviously additional strain, on the already limited staffing. Because what they're really trying to get away from is the mandatory overtimes and the doubles and the triples. And so because we have a staffing emergency, I think the focus was to suspend aspects of HALT that required more staff time, more CO, more CO labor intensive, if you would, as opposed to suspending, let's say, the solitary piece, right, which is you're limiting the amount of time you can keep someone in a special housing unit. For 15 days, I think it is, right? So now, again, that is sort of one of the key components of HALT. And I know the COs, you know, don't like it, and I don't like it, but that's also the signature piece that I don't think Democrats are going to move off of. You know, that's not me defending that. That's just me being realistic about that. I mean, you can look at Julia Salazar, who authored the HALT law. She doesn't like the agreement from the other direction, right? She thinks it's bad because she doesn't want any parts suspended, right? So, but again, you know, the COs are the ones who have to determine whether or not this, they feel that this is a concession, or whether or not they feel this improves their situation inside these jails. From what I've heard, it does not meet their expectations, and you know, I do not expect the strike to end at this juncture. I could be wrong, and if they decide that they want to go back to work and if this meets their demands, then I'll support them in that. But if they don't, look, I'm going to support them regardless. I support what they do. I know that Democrats have made their job less safe. We've watched, we've stood by and watched our prisons become more dangerous. Incidents violent against corrections officers are up statistically. That's an undeniable point. But at the end of the day, this is a labor negotiation. They have to decide if they want to accept these terms. But there's I would tell any CO at the end of the day, what you really want, is only going to be achieved by changing the governor and the political leadership in Albany. That's it. They are committed to HALT, or at least to the core or the concept of HALT. And I don't see that changing with the current political leadership in Albany.
So let's say this does end the strikes. COs start going back to work. The state seems to have quite a bit of a mess on their hands still between prisoners getting bused to other facilities and a large amount of COs quitting and looking to find work elsewhere. So where does the state go from here as far as, I guess, either fixing things or cleaning up the image that is now reflected on the CO job?
This is the most dangerous moment in the state's prison system history, maybe since, you know, Attica or, you know, in the 70s. Maybe ever. And that is you, the reality, you don't have enough people, even if you, you know, suspended HALT, you don't have enough people, right now to do these jobs. And that's in part because of the conditions we've created, that we are chasing people out. We have chased people who could retire immediately to retire. We are chasing people out that were not able to retire. They're just quitting, as you said. And the people that are in jails now are the worst of the worst, because to be in jail in New York, you've had to commit a serious crime. And so, at the same time that we're putting more that the percentage of violent, dangerous inmates is growing, we are, you know, reducing the tools and the resources that COs have to manage them. And you have the National Guard and the military in prisons right now. And that is, I don't see that ending anytime soon. Obviously, if the COs don't go back to work, then it's definitely not going to end anytime soon. But even if they do start to come back, I think you're going to have to keep the guard there or somebody there. From a staffing level perspective, and that is a dangerous situation. I have been against the guard being used in prisons from the beginning, because I don't think they're trained, and I think you're asking to make a dangerous situation more dangerous. So the governor and Democrats own this, though, Zach. And I'm not, some people will say that's just me being partisan. That's me being factual. The Democrats pushed HALT. The Democrats have demonized corrections officers. The Democrats have decided to prioritize the well-being of prisoners over corrections officers. And by the way, you can do both. It's not a this or that situation. You can be concerned for inmates and their well-being and for the well-being of corrections officers. But there are those in our state government who see everything in, you know, it's prisoners versus corrections officers. It's criminals versus police officers. And you got to pick a side, and they're definitely on the side, of those who have broken the law, who are in jail, or who are out of jail and who might break the law. So it's just, it's unfortunate. But we have brought this, the Democrats have brought this upon us. And anyone who supports them owns it too, that you have brought this rot onto our prison system, and you have made our prisons less safe, not more safe. You have militarized our prisons. We have soldiers inside of prisons instead of corrections officers because of these policies. And so it's a total failure of policy. It's a failure of leadership. And hopefully we can get through this in the next couple of days and get our COs back to work. But if they don't, you know, I know why. I understand why they're where they are. It's not their fault. This is the fault of, again, failure of political leadership, failure of policy, and the people that broke it are going to have to try to fix it. But I don't believe that's going to happen completely. I think you're going to need a change in political leadership from the top on down, if you really want to see different policy when it comes to taking care of corrections officers. And that's not going to happen until November of 2026.
Now, I was talking with Senator Borrello earlier, and he was saying that he believes the state Democrats are intentionally causing the prison system to collapse in New York. My question for you for that is that a discourse that it seems to be growing in Albany based off of the, I guess, the most recent events?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are those in elected office. I mean, look, where are the Democrats on this issue? I mean, I haven't heard them. Usually, if there's a labor strike, they triple themselves to be on the picket line. They're not doing that with these guys. So I don't think they care. I think there's a real apathy and a real disdain for corrections officers and for their union by legislative Democrats in Albany, and obviously the governor, has been pretty aggressive with the union, and I think there's a real disconnect there. Whether every person in Albany is trying to force the system to collapse, I don't know that I would go that far. I don't know that this is all some kind of giant conspiracy. I think it's a misguided, apathetic failure where you have, you know, some Democrats who don't care if the prison, I guess, if it collapses. And I think you have other people who are too weak to do the right thing and step forward and change course and say, this is not working. The halt law is not working, that we have a staffing crisis, that we have an emergency, and we need to suspend the entire law while we address the staffing emergency. I mean, to me, that's probably what the folks on the line want. I don't know if the governor would go for that. I certainly don't think my colleagues in the Senate and the Assembly would go for that. So again, I don't know. So there's what should happen, and there's what is politically feasible. And I know some people don't ever want to talk about what's politically feasible because they don't like to talk about stuff like that. But that's the reality that we are in. This is a very pro criminal, pro inmate state right now. The political leadership, that is where their focus is. And there's a host of other bills that would go even further than halt ever, went. When it comes to, dealing with inmates and our prison system. So, again, absent 2026, absent a change at the top, absent a change in the Senate, I do not anticipate that the Democrats in the state Senate or the state Assembly, and to include the governor, are suddenly going to decide that halt is a bad thing. I just don't see that. I could be wrong, but I don't.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.